I don't have too many chidushim, just a few he'aros, some observations on this parasha. Spend some time in the parasha, try to come up with something, but not always successful. So we'll do the best that we can. Parashas Kisisa. Parash Kisisa is also Parash Shabbos Parot. It's very important to note that the kapara for the egel is the para aduma. Chazal say that the mother should come and clean up for her child. An egel is a baby para. Para is when an animal is when an egel develops into in 3 years. Para is not halachal the para until it's at least 3 years old and it's fit to give birth. Female para, and that is what is used to prepare the para aduma. And the this is parish the chet or egel, and it's unique in that not all the time is parashas para. Does parashas para coincide with parashas kisisa? When parashas para coincides with parashas kisisa, it's almost ideal, because right after we read the chet or egel, the parasha of the egel, which is a terrible, terrible avera, immediately we take out another sefer Torah. And we go to the remedy. The remedy is para aduma tamima. There is a tikkun. So it's a special year when the two indeed do coincide. Now, with that idea in mind, I just want to make the following observation. Before we get to the parsha of the egel, there are six parshios that prepare us for the egel. The first parsha is machzis hashekel, okay? Kisisas roish bnei Yisrael, machzis hashekel. The second parsha is the kior. The third parasha is the Shemin HaNishcha. The fourth parasha is the Ketores. The fifth parasha is the selection of Bezalel and Chur, and the Bezalel and Eliyav. Bezalel ben Ur ben Chur l'mat Yudah, and Avraham l'Zur Yerolakim, together with Oholiyav ben Achismach l'mat Hedan, the two craftsmen, the two master craftsmen that will be instrumental, that will lead the team in building the Mishkan. And the last is Shabbos. So the question over here is, why do these six parashios appear before we begin the sugya of the Chet HaEgel? So I just want to make an observation. The observation I want to make over is that it would seem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is creating the Refuah Kaidim Demaka. Hashem knows us. Hashem knows in advance that we are very weak spiritually, and when Moshe Rabbeinu would delay in coming down from Har Sinai exactly on time, there would be a possibility that we would be nichshol in the chet of the egel, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu in advance prepared us with the tools that we need to overcome and to do tshuva, to restore our standing before Him with the tools that He gave us before we come to the Ma'aseh Egel. In other words, Refuah Koidem Hamaka. Now, why do I want to say this? Because the first thing we learned about is Kisisa. Now, let's jump to an idea. We're going to go away from this for a moment, and I want to focus on the word Kisisa. The word Kisisa is a very unique word. What does it mean, Kisisa? So Rashi says Kisisa is Lashon, the very first Rashi in the parasha, Lashon Kabbalah, to accept. Acceptance. Lashon Kabbalah. When you, Moshe Rabbeinu, want to take for yourself the count of the Jewish people to know how many members of Klal Yisrael there are, so don't do it by counting them, but instead do it by counting the coins. Rashi very clearly says the word kisisa is an unusual word, which means lekabel, to accept, to take in. It's very interesting, we'll talk about this a little bit more later on, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Shemayim to ask for kapara, the term Moshe uses, I don't think this is a term any of us would use when asking someone to forgive us or to forgive someone else for their indiscretion, their sins. Let me jump ahead to the Ma'aseh Egel.
Acceptance.
That's what kisisa means. It means to accept. We go ahead to the egel. Moshe goes to Shemayim, and Moshe says, "The atot in perik lamid beis, pasik lamid beis, lev lev." Okay, that's a good, very good number. Lev lev. The atot, and now in tiso chatosam. If you will, what does it mean? If not for this Rashi, you translate it as if you will carry their sins. I'm not sure how, if anyone has an English chumash, I know how do you even know kisisas bnei Yisrael, when you lift up, right? Kisisa, when you lift, isn't that the normal way we translate the word kisisa? We don't normally translate as Rashi tells us to accept. What does the Targum say? The Targum also says sikada. What?
Shofkas.
Targum says no sikabel. Sikabel. Sikabel, to accept.
Yeah, but later it says
Shofkas. Oh, different Targum. Very good, very good. But over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, he uses an expression which I think should surprise us. If we were sent on a mission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask him to forgive the Jewish people for sinning, worshipping the Egel, and you would say to him, you have an audience with Hashem, would you choose the words, Ribbono Shel Olam, in Tisoch HaTosam, the Atah, in Tisoch HaTosam, if you will carry Tisoch HaTosam, all is fine and good, V'imayin, Mecheinina, Misifruch HaShar Kososta. I don't think the average person would use the word tisoch atosam when begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive the Jewish people. Otherwise, I'm going to have making with you the ultimatum. I'm going to threaten you that you remove me from your Sefer Torah. Why then did Moshe Rabbeinu use the word kisisa? Well, first let's discuss the psychology behind this. The word kisisa, as Rashi told us in the beginning, means to accept. What exactly are you doing when you ask a person to forgive someone else? You're asking them accept the reality. When we are angry, someone does something harmful to us, and we don't want to forgive them. What is the psychology behind rejecting their friendship, being angry, wanting to distance ourselves? I cannot accept what you have done. You have done something that is very painful. I have a hard time accepting that this is the new reality. Dealing with what I have in mind, dealing with this pain, dealing with the harm that has come to me. You are the cause, and therefore, in my mind, the only way I can, to some degree, take away the pain or take away what I'm missing is by rejecting you. You're playing with your mind. I have received harm. I have in my possession pain. I want to get rid of the pain. I can't get rid of the pain. But the next best thing I can do is get rid of you. Push you away. I will never talk to you. I will never look at you. I will take you to court and demand that you pay me $1 million. Because I now have, I have in my possession tsar. I have pain. I have harm. I want to get rid of it. I can't. So at least let me get rid of you. When you forgive a person, what are you really doing, in essence? I'm accepting it. I'm accepting. This is what I have. I have the pain. Not necessarily the person. The situation. Harm has been done. I have pain. I'll have to live with it. I'll have to accept it. I don't have a choice. When you accept what you have, then I can also have a relationship with you. Forgiveness, in one's mind, all begins with acceptance. Not everyone is perfect. Not everything goes the way you plan. Sometimes you just have to accept this is what it is and just move on. Moshe is very profound. It's very deep. When Moshe says to Hashem, the very first words that come out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth when he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know why I'm here. You know why I'm here. I've been sent on a mission. I came over here. Klal Yisrael, you want to destroy them. I know you're angry. Ribbono Shel Olam, accept it. Accept the reality. The Jewish people, they're not perfect. Live with it. Live with it. Accept it. If you'll be willing to accept it, you won't destroy us, you won't destroy me, you won't destroy anyone. It's a very profound thing, especially to say this to the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept it. Im tisoch hatosam. If you're willing to accept the reality that we're not perfect, we've made mistakes, then you'll be able to deal with us and to continue to take us to Eretz Yisrael, v'chulu v'chulu.
Hashem is the one that made them, so he knows they're not perfect.
Well, that's all part. That's all. Hashem is mitzamtzeim him. That's another principle, that Hashem is mitzamtzeim himself. Hashem is infinite. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he deals with us on a level that we can relate to. He makes believe that we can relate to him in our minds. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was using this technique and telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept it. It's a very profound approach to deal with asking for forgiveness. Now, it's very tricky, because when Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael what he's doing, I'm now going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm now going to present your case, I am your lawyer, I'm the lawyer on your behalf. What's my plan? Every lawyer, you need a plan. You need a mahalich. Are you going to plead insanity? Are you going to plead ignorance? Are you going to make a plea bargain? Plead guilty, make a plea bargain? I mean, what's your plan? The lawyer has to have a strategy. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, I am your lawyer, and let me tell you what the strategy is going to be. He doesn't say this. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, my client, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay, you're in a lot of trouble. You're sitting here in jail. You're locked up. You're finished. I'm your lawyer. I'm the state assigned lawyer. Okay, so I'm all you got. The atah now ele el Hashem. I'm going to the judge. Ulai, I can't promise you anything. Maybe we'll get lucky. Moshe doesn't say to Klal Yisrael, I'm going to ask Hashem to accept it. Accept the fact that you're just a child, you're a juvenile. No, what do you want? No. Moshe says, when I speak to Hashem, I'm going to ask him for forgiveness. Kapara. What is kapara? It's not so simple what kapara, but one approach, kapara means to cover over. Kapar means you don't take away the Avera. The Avera is there just to cover it, to conceal it. Let's not focus on the problem.
Put it in abeyance for now.
Moshe doesn't say to Klal Yisrael, I'm going to ask Hashem to say to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, accept the reality. This is how it is. You can't blame him, it's his fault. It's very interesting, because Klal Yisrael on their own has to attempt to achieve a higher madrega. Klal Yisrael over here, we're dealing over here with achieving kapara for the Chet HaEgel, there are two approaches. There's the public approach, there's the approach for the client, and then there is behind closed doors a deal that's being made between the lawyer and the judge. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, you as the perpetrator, as the sinner, you have to do tshuva. You need kapara. You need rehabilitation. You need to work on yourself. You need to daven, you need to mispal, you need to learn. You need to achieve kapara, atonement. And that word captures a lot of things. But it does not capture the concept of acceptance. Because the concept of acceptance means you are what you are. There's no need for rehabilitation. There's no need to really do anything. Okay, you'll try a little bit. No, you, my client, you have to sincerely work on refining your midos, refining yourself to achieve kapara. But when Moshe goes behind closed doors with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's all alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't say this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, they're working on it. They're working on kapara. But you, Hashem, have to still forgive Klal Yisrael, because you have to accept the reality. Tisa es chatosa. It's an amazing idea. Klal Yisrael Moshe is the master lawyer. For my client, I've convinced him this is what he needs to do. But me, between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a different plan, a different approach. A different approach, which is a more powerful approach. And that approach is the powerful word of Tisa Chatosan. Hashem, recognize, not everyone is perfect. This is what it is. You have to still continue to love us, to take care of us, to guide us, to take us into Eretz Yisrael, v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, that's one vart I wanted to say by itself. But I want to now just take this idea and say, where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn about the concept of acceptance? Tisa chatosa. So I want to suggest that the fact that there are six parshios before the Chet Egel and Parash Kisisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing Moshe for what's about to happen. The most traumatic thing in the world is about to happen. Klal Yisrael are going to betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Yitzias Mitzrayim and after Matan Torah, like we spent all these last couple of days learning in Yechezkel. The most traumatic thing is about to happen for Klal Yisrael. They don't even know what's coming, what they're going to do, what's happening. But Hashem knows the future. Hashem is Borei the Refuah Koidim the Makah. And part of the Refuah is the first thing in this parish, Hashem and Moshe, I want to give you a mitzvah called Machzis HaShekel. And the essence of Machzis HaShekel is Kisisa Espinei Yisrael. And what is the purpose of Machzis HaShekel? It's Lichaper Al Nafsho Seichem. Look how the parasha begins. The parasha is Kisisa. Everyone will give V'nosnu ish koifer nafsho LaHashem b'fkoy l'osam V'lo yeh b'ham negeh b'fkoy l'osam. Atonement, kapara, the same term that Moshe Rabbeinu used. Zeyidnu v'chulu v'chulu. And the parasha concludes V'hoya l'vnei Yisrael l'zik karon l'vnei Hashem l'chaper al nafsho seichem. Why does it begin with Kisisa and end with kapara? Is to teach you that sometimes the way you achieve atonement is through acceptance. Is you have to make aware the person who has been harmed, accept what has happened. Be in the goodness of your heart, overlook everything else and just accept it. Now that's the attitude that has to come from the person who has been harmed. But the attitude of the one who has done the harm is not, of course, an attitude to say, accept it. You have to be sincere in your quest to change, to achieve atonement. There are two different mindsets. There's the mindset of the perpetrator, and there is the mindset of the one who has been harmed. Ultimately, the one that has been harmed has to accept. But the one that has done the harm, that's not an approach. He has to change. He has to repent. He has to do teshuva. He has to go on a quest to have kapara. And those two things here come together in the parasha of Machzis HaShekel. Why suddenly was Moshe Rabbeinu taught this halacha, Machzis HaShekel, which begins with Kisisa and ends with kapara before the Chet Egel? Hashem is preparing Moshe Rabbeinu. He's giving him the tools. He's teaching him the concepts of what he needs to know to how to deal with this situation when the egel will happen in only a few pesukim later on. Okay, that's the first section. The second section is Shemen HaMishcha. Why is the Shemen HaMishcha significant? The Shemen HaMishcha was used to anoint Aaron and shave. What? The Kiyah. Why is that significant? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do when he came down from the Mount of Misuli, worshiped the idol? He tested them like a sota. He had them drink water, and anyone that was guilty died. That's all part of the parashah. He went and he had them drink the water. Where did he get the water from? The Kiyah. And Chazal say, Rashi says, it's just like a sota. Just like a sot when she comes to the Beis Hamidrash, so we have to determine, is she innocent or guilty? Is she guilty of infidelity? So the Kohen Gadol, he takes the Shem Hashem, the parasha of sota, and he dissolves it in Mayim Chayim. Where did the Kohen Gadol get the Mayim to dissolve the parasha of the sota? The Kiyar has to come holy water, and she was given to drink. Moshe Rabbeinu, as an atonement, as part of the process of determining who exactly was guilty in this Avera, was behaving like the Kohen Gadol who gives the Isha the Mesota. And the part of the Mesota is coming from the Kiyar. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing Moshe. Moshe, you have to have the tools of the trade. Let me teach you about the Kiyar, the holy water, which very soon you're going to need to use in order to test Klal Yisrael, everyone in Klal Yisrael, to determine exactly who is guilty and who is innocent. The third parasha is the Shemen HaMishcha. Who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha? It says Beferish, it was Aaron Ubanov, Shevet Levi. Who was innocent in the Mice of the Egel? Shevet Levi. It was Shevet Levi that was Mila Hashem Elai, by Yisrael of Kol B'nei Levi, And it was only because there was a B'nai Levi, there was someone in Klal Yisrael who was able to correct the damage. So where did Shevet Levi get the fortitude, get the Kedusha, in order to be Mila Hashem Elai? They were Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha. This was a very holy act of designation. Hashem prepared the Shem and HaMishcha. The Pasuk says that he smeared, he applied it to the entire Shevet Levi. Let me find the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, U'moshach is el-moed. And then it goes on to say, V'yes Aaron, V'yes Bonof, Timshach, V'kidashto, Oysam L'chahein Li. So we see over here that Hashem was preparing Shevet Levi for a mission. They have to be holy, they have to be distant from this chait in order that they can serve as a tool in the hands of Hashem and Moshe to be mechaper and to determine who is guilty, who is not guilty, and to remove the evil from Klal Yisrael. The next sugya is the ketores. The ketores was used to hold, to delay or to cancel the magefa. We know that the ketores in Rachman al-Slan is a magefa in Klal Yisrael, and the magefa is on the verge of wiping out the whole Klal Yisrael. The ketores has the koyach to stop the magefa. We find this by the parish of Korach. When Korach and his 250 men rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, the entire Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out in the Magefa that followed afterwards. Only 24,000 people died. And how did the Magefa stop after 24,000 people? It's only because Moshe told Aaron, go and be makdir the Ketores. The Ketores has a koyach to be Moneya a Magefa. The very last thing that it says in the Eidol was, by Yigoyf Hashem Ba'am. It was a Magefa. There was a magefa. Now, I don't know if Chazal said explicitly, but I'm assuming that if there's a magefa, magefa is always goes together with the ketores, and obviously the ketores had to have been used in order to hold back the korban of the magefa. The very end of the pasuk at the end of Perek Pasuk Lamed Hey, which Perek Lamed Days. Vayigoyf Hashem Esa'am Al Asher Asu Esha'egel Asher Asa Ara. What does Rashi say? Misa b'de Shemayim le'edim b'loy hasra. There was a magefa. I'm assuming, based upon other examples in Tanakh, when there's a magefa, the ketores is always there to stop the magefa. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu parsha of the ketores as an antidote to what is coming here. Vayigoyf Hashem es ha'am. What's the next parsha? The next parsha is Vamale oisoy ruach elokim Bitzalel and Aholia ben Achitz machlamate don. What were they needed for? Their skills were needed to build the Mishkan. What was the purpose of the Mishkan? What did Chazal say? It's the Feresh Chazal. The Mishkan was a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. It's the Feresh Chazal. After the Chet HaEgel, Hashem mobilized Klal Yisrael to be mechap of the Chet HaEgel. We need craftsmen. We need people who will be able to build the Mishkan. If we don't have the talent, then we have nothing to talk about. And then comes Shabbos. Chazal say, "Kol hamoide b'Shabbos ki l'kofar be'avoy dezara." When it comes to someone who's mechal Shabbos, Chazal equate a shomer Shabbos as a person who denies avodah zara. If you admit to the kedusha of Shabbos, you are acknowledging that it is Hashem who has created the world, and you makir there is a ribbono shel olam, which is the extreme opposite of the egel, which was a denial of Hakadosh Baruch Hu of Eil Elohecha Yisrael. So I'm trying to suggest over here is that it's not a coincidence that these six parashios appear prior to the Chet HaEgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware. He knows the future. Very idea, because sometimes in life we make big mistakes. We make big mistakes, and after the mistake, what do we do now? Va'ani ona aniva. Where do you go when you make a mistake? So you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows you're going to make this mistake. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu in advance, he didn't put you in this world to trick you. He didn't put you in this world that, oh, got you. You made a stupid mistake, and now you're finished. Hashem knows you're going to make mistakes. So Hashem in advance, I mean, you're responsible for your mistakes, you suffer for your mistakes plenty. There's no denial. Sometimes it's irreversible, the mistakes. But at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu in advance, He gives you the tools, He gives you the tools that you are going to need to deal with what is coming after you do an avera or you make a mistake. Here we have the Chet HaEgel. It's the greatest mistake man has ever made in the history of the world since Adam and Chava. Since man listened to his wife and he ate from the Eitz Hadas, that was the ultimate mistake. When man listened to Chava, and after Adam listening to Chava, the next greatest mistake was Klal Yisrael worshipping the Egel. Hashem prepared us in advance. He gave us six parashios. Parash number one, Kisisa Lechaper. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off, Im Tisochatoson, fine. Vim Ayin Mochenino, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechaper. Ultimately is the Salachti, ultimately is Vayomer Hashem Salachti Chivarech, that's by the Meraglim. Ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael by giving them the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim. There was Kapara. But Moshe needed the code word. The code word is Kisisa. Im Tisa Chatosan. Fine. Vim Ayin Mochenino. And v'chulu v'chulu. That's number one. Number two, to review. Number two, the kiyor. The kiyor was instrumental in determining who were the guilty parties, like the Mei Soita, by Yizer al Pnei Hamayim. He dispersed them over the water. He gave them to, Rashi says, he gave them to drink from the Mei Kiyor, like a Sota. Number three, we need an army. Uncle Sam needs you. We need the military. We need people to carry out the holy work. To repair Klali, we need a Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi derive their sanctity through the Shemen HaMishcha. Ketores, there's going to be a Magev on the aftermath of this terrible Chorban. Vayigov Hashem Esa'am. I got you covered. I'm giving you Ketores in advance. We need a Mishkan to be Mechaper for the Chet HaEgel. I got you covered. I have for you the master craftsman, Bitzal and Olga Ben Achitzvach L'matei Don. We need Shabbos. To be mechaper, to be makir, there's a rebbeinu shalom after the chayru ego. I got you covered. I'm giving you the mitzvah of Shabbos. It's not a coincidence that these six mitzvahs here are in advance because each one is essential for us to atone, to deal with the aftermath of the chet ha'egel. And this should be a nechama for us in life that whenever we find ourselves in a very difficult situation where we have no one to blame but ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be aware Hashem knows about this. You're not alone in this world. Hashem knows what's coming. Hashem prepares you in advance. He has everything at your disposal ready in advance to help you go further and to move along successfully in life. Okay, let's go to another idea. It's a very short idea, but it's profound. As Rashi says, Kisisa. What does it mean, Kisisa? Rashi says it means to take. Kisisa. In life, we're all takers. No, are we not? We're all here to take, 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 take. But Pasuk says, you want to be a taker in life, Kisisa Esroish B'nei Yisrael. You know what you do? Ze Yitnu. The next Pasuk says, the way to take is to give. The side of life, there's no greater gift. There's no greater gift in life than having the opportunity to give. It's not a coincidence that these psukim are back to back. Pasuk Yud Beis begins Kisisa. If you want to take in life, you want a good life, to be rich, successful, happy, a Talmud Chacham, you know how you take? Next Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ze Yitnu. This is what you give. Giving is the ultimate way, path to receive. Okay, another idea. What? Vinosra, you have Vinosra, Vinosra, Ishka, Vinosra. Yidnu is a more powerful word in the Quran. Vinosra. He sees the Shosh B'nai Yisrael in Vinosra. The way you take is by giving. Okay, next idea. This is a Jewish. I saw this. I really like this a lot. It's very cute Jewish. It's not exactly what I saw, so I'm adapting it, but it's a cute little idea. Everyone has to do the Machsa Shekel. He Ashir Lo Yarbe. Vehada Lo Yamid. Mi Machatis HaShekel. Lo Seis. Es Chimas HaShem Lechapel Nafsho Seichem. The Jewish goes as follows. We have a pasuk that says, if you give tzedakah, uvichanuni na bezois, amar Hashem Elokim, Im le'efzach lechem arubais hashamayim ad belidai. The pasuk in Navi says that Hashem guarantees aser ta'aser. You want to be rich? You give. The more you give, the more you'll get back. If you give tzedakah, it's an investment. Hashem says, test me. I'm willing to let you test me. I guarantee I'll give you back so much, ad bli die, until your lips become tar from saying the word die. Now, Pasuk here says, not so fast. This is a drush. It's very true. Not so fast. Not so fast. Do I guarantee that by giving tzedakah, you're going to receive barucha ad bli die? That's only when you give tzedakah to the poor. And that's only when you give a significant amount of tzedakah. But don't have hasagas that by giving a machzis hashekel, you're going to become rich. Machzis hashekel is a code word for giving a quarter, a nickel. You don't even give a dollar. You give just a few, some spare change. He'ashir lo yarbe. If you're a multi-millionaire and you give a quarter, Hashem says, I'm not giving you any bracha that you're going to become a multi-billionaire for giving a quarter. And you know something? The hadah lo yamitz. Come to a poor person, can you give me a quarter? Can you give me a quarter? A little change, some spare change? I don't have any parnasa. I don't have a job. Well, you seem to survive pretty well without a parnasa. Believe me, giving me a quarter is not going to make a difference for you. Even though you're a poor person, you don't have much for yourself, the hadal lo yamit, giving small pocket change is not going to make an impact on your financial status. Mimachatzis hashokel, from giving spirit change. And certainly when the money you're giving for tzedakah is not to feed the poor people, but it's for kapara, it's for atonement purposes. In other words, there are different types of tzedakah. A person should always give, the drushy of the person should never withhold himself from giving pocket change tzedakah, small little donations. And when you give small donations, the rich person shouldn't fool himself in having hasagas, oh, I've given tzedakah, I'm worthy of harikos ilchem barucha ad belidai. And to the other extreme, a poor person should not say, I'm not going to go give pocket change tzedakah every day like everyone else because I have no parnasa. And therefore, I have to save every last penny I have for myself to make sure I have what. For giving a quarter, a nickel, dime, believe me, it's not going to make a difference in your survival. He'ashir lo yarbe. Ve'hadal lo yam. The usher's wealth is not going to be blessed giving a donation that's less than what is befitting for the rich man to give. Ve'hadal. And a poor man who gives a quarter to tzedakah, lo yamid. A guarantee, you're not going to get poorer from giving you a quarter. When you're giving the type of tzedakah that is machatzis hashekel, when you're giving small pocket change, the bracha, v'harikos yilechem bracha ad belidai, that's a sugya when you're giving a lot, when you're giving something which is meaningful. You're giving away 10%, 20% of your assets, of your wealth, of your earned income. Okay, then Hashem says, okay, you're doing something that is very noble, I'm giving you bracha, v'chulu, v'chulu. But when you're giving pocket change, come on now. If you're poor, don't be so cheap. And if you're rich, don't brag about the fact you gave $18 to your local shul when you can have given easily $100,000 and you wouldn't even know the difference. This is the little drush mentioned in the beginning of the parasha. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's another short idea. Rashi says that the machsa shekel, the pasuk emphasizes, is called the shekel hakodesh. In the shekel hakodesh. Rashi, interestingly, says, why does it say kodesh? The coin has to be holy. You're not going to go give a, you can't give a quarter. I mean, what is the significance of the shekel hakodesh? Rashi says, b'mishkal hashekel shekatzafti l'chol lishkol boy shikle hakodesh. The coin doesn't have to be holy. The coin can be a mundane coin, but it's the same type of coin that I've specified that you should use when you are redeeming holy objects. What do we mean? Kigoin shikolim ha'amurim b'parshas arochin, in end of which parsha? Pekudei. Arachin, every person has an Erich value from every different age in your depending on gender and time in your life. Arachin, Ustei Achuz, a person is Makdish, his ancestral field, and wants to redeem it before Yovel, so he has to pay a certain amount of money. The past Torah there has a formula, and it's given in Shekolim. Both of these examples, the Torah specifies that you should use Shekolim in order to fulfill your donation to the Beis HaMikdash, which is Kodesh. So my question over here is why there are more examples. There are more examples in a halacha where you use Shekolim, use Shekolim. Over here, we're focusing specifically on giving money to redeem yourself, pretty much, Erich, and land, property. And we're equating that with the kapara a person achieves by giving the machtis ha-shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, which is for the kurbanos, and this example is for the adonim, or the kurbanos. Why did Rashi specifically connect the machzis ha-shekel, that's called here shekel ha-kodesh, to two other very specific shkolim, arochin and stei achuza? So I think the drush is very simple. When it comes to your the value of your body, meaning your health, your guf, people take it very seriously. People go to the best doctors, people eat the best foods, people wear the best clothing. When it comes to their erich, their value, their whether they're a man, they're a woman, different stages of their life, how much they're worth, how much their physical body is worth, people take it very seriously. When it comes to the estei achuza, your land, your property, where you live, your home that you live in, people take it very seriously. When it comes to their neshama, people have a tendency to not take it so seriously. What's so terrible if I view something that's not 100% proper? What's so terrible if I engage in activity that's not 100% proper? What's so bad if we do this, do that? The neshama, no, it's only the neshama. It's not my physical being, it's not my physical body, it's not my health, it's not my home, it's not where I live. The pasuk says, don't make any mistake. Here the parasha begins with kapara for the neshama, the tahira of the neshama. The neshama, shenasat to be tahirihi. Ato yitzar, ato nefachta bi, ato meshamra bikirbi. View your neshama with the same sensitivity that you view your guf, your physical body, and you view your home. When it comes to your physical body, your erich, how much do I consider my body worth, the value of my body? I take it very seriously. Again, listen, the best foods, the best clothing, the conditions have to be just perfect. The best doctors. When it comes to my home, I have to have a nice home. Your neshama is just as important. In fact, it's more important, and therefore we hone in. Machatzis ha-shekel, the shekel ha-kodesh. Remember, when it comes to gift staka, to the mechaper for the neshama is just like the shekel ha-kodesh. What's shekel ha-kodesh? Ha-shekel shekatzavti loch lishko bo shikli ha-kodesh kon shekolim ha-lun b'parashas arochin, your body, the value of your guf, ustei achuza, and the value of how much you value your property. Consider your neshama to be just as valuable. Your next idea. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he shatters the luchas. Question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to come down and shatter the luchas? Why couldn't he shatter the luchas in Shemayim? Teretz says, I don't trust you, Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't trust you, right? Everyone says, Gasha. Moshe Shemayim, Hashem, you know, you need a lie detector. Before I can go and I can believe you that the Jewish people are actually worshipping the ego, I gotta see with my own eyes. I don't believe you, Hashem. I have to see it. So Mimela, I'll take the luchos now. I'll go downstairs. I'll see what's doing. And if I don't like what I'll see, then I'll take. Moshe doesn't believe the Ribbono Shel Olam that they're worshipping the eagle. They're worshipping an idol to the eagle. My high. So the answer. Okay, that's one answer. In a Hanami, Moshe was shock therapy. Moshe was a psychologist. Shock therapy.
The kuach between him and Hashem was while he was still up in Shemayim.
But Moshe didn't do it. Hashem says to Moshe,
that's why
Hashem says to Moshe, "Soru maher min aderech." A whole long Megillah here. What's doing over here? Vayifid vayir Moshe ben Ohar. Vushrei luchos ahoydes biyad. Luchos haksuv vushrei avreim. Gizem zehim suvim. V'chulu v'chulu. And he comes down and he says, he sees what's going on. Vayar Moshe asam kifaruhu. Yes. Vayashleich miyadav es haluchos vayishavu oisam tachasva. What took so long? So there are many answers. Can you give an answer?
Right.
The common answer is Hashem didn't tell Moshe the whole story. All Hashem told Moshe was Soru maher min aderech asher tzivisim asulahem egel masecha vayishtachavu lo, they bound down vayizvichu lo vayoyimru eile lohecha Yisrael asher helucha mi'eretz Mitzrayim. It's pretty serious, right? Offering sacrifices, they're bowing down, and you are our God. Pretty scary. Moshe is not impressed. Big deal, big deal. Eil Hecha Yisrael, people say about everything Eil Hecha Yisrael, right? People say about their doctors, people say about their lawyers, people say to the money in the bank, Eil Hecha Yisrael, big deal, big deal. When Moshe comes down, and the common answer is, Moshe saw something he did not hear. Vayar es ho'egel u'michoylois. The dancing. Oh, Moshe saw something he did not hear from Hashem. He saw they were dancing around the Eich. They weren't just bowing down. They weren't just offering sacrifices. They didn't just say, it wasn't lip service. It wasn't like davening. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. They were dancing. They really enjoyed it. They enjoyed, they relished in the experience of worshipping the idol. This he didn't hear from Hashem. This was a shock to Moshe. And this put Moshe in shock mode where he responded with Vayashlech miyada vesaluchos. And it's a very common answer. I'm sure you must have heard this before. It's the simcha that he saw, which he did not expect. What? Well, that's a different point. But here it's the mecholos. I just want to say a little bit of a twist, different twist. Mecholos means dancing. But mecholos also means, it means a cycle. It means a circuit. It's a Jewish, what I'm trying to say. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say this in the Pasuk, maybe make believe. Let's say make believe there's a Medrash that says that Hashem told Moshe they're dancing Havan Negila to the Egel. They're dancing also. They're doing it. They're dancing. They're everything. Moshe was still not impressed. All right, big deal. Fine, they're doing it. When it says they saw the mecholos, it means Moshe saw the Klal Yisrael is now caught up. They've sinned to the degree where they're now in a vicious cycle. The cycle that we find in Sefer Nevi'im, over and over. What's the whole Sefer Shoftim all about? Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel is. There's a vicious cycle. Hashem is good to Klal Yisrael. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. We take advantage of the situation, of all the bracha, and then we rebel. And then what happens? Hashem punishes us. What do? We burn the Shalom, we're sorry, we cry to Hashem, help us. Okay, Hashem helps us. We're good for a couple of years, and then Hashem gives us more bracha, and then the cycle repeats itself, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. And then the Nochamol, Hashem, we made a mistake, please help us, we're not going to do it ever again, we're going to be good from now on. Okay, I trust you. Hashem takes away the enemy, Hashem gives us bracha, and Nochamol, the cycle continues. Throughout the entire Sefer Shoftim, the cycle goes on and on and on and on. We're caught up in a vicious cycle. When will we learn to break the cycle? Why have we become addicted? We're addicts. Why are we addicted? It's a sickness. We're able to stop. People go, they lose a lot of weight. And then what happens? They gain back even more weight. People go off. They're on drugs. They go off drugs. And then they go back. It's even worse. And all of a sudden, they go. It's a vicious cycle. Moshe knew in advance what they did. Moshe knew they were dancing away. But Moshe never thought they became addicts. They were addicted. And when Moshe came in, Moshe vayar es ha'egel v'es ha'necholos. I want to say a drush. Is that Moshe saw that them really beyond it. They're so caught up in what they're doing, the therapy and treatment is not going to work. It's going to work. It will work. I'll be able to stop them from doing this. But they're so, it's so ingrained in them, this horrible experience. They're in mecholos. They're in this cycle. This, what? What?
A
hold. It's a, I had to think of that. You want to see mechol? So holy. Yeah, they're in a cycle. They'll be able to stop, but then it's going to happen again, and then they'll stop again. But it's going to just like we find in the Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel, this sickness of doing tshuva, Hashem giving us bracha. We don't learn from our mistakes. Nochamal vayishman yishuv vayivat, and the cycle continues over and over. And therefore, Moshe says we're now in a lot of trouble. This I didn't expect.
That's why.
And therefore, I have no choice now but to break the luchos. This is the deeper meaning in the mechudas. Pshuta shalmikud is Moshe saw they enjoyed it. They were dancing. But on a deeper level, mechudas is the cycle that goes on in the person's mind. Now you touched upon the idea of. We touch upon the idea of Ein Kol Anos Gevura, Ein Kol Anos Chalusha, Kol Anos Anochi Shmira. By the way, this is just a side point. Check the Baal Kriya. It's a very tricky Kriya. When the Pasuk here says the word Anos appears three times, Yoshua says to Moshe, Kol Milchama Bamachane. Moshe, I hear there's a war. I hear a noise. I hear noise in the camp. It sounds as if there's a war. Moshe says to Yoshua, Yoshua, there's no war. Ein kol anois givura, v'ein kol anois chalusha, kol anois anochi shumea. And you should be aware that it's a different anos. The anos in the, of givura and chalusha is a chatof patach. And there's no dat in the nun. Which basically means you swallow the nun. Ein kol anos, anos givura. Then call anos chalusha. You swallow the ayin, swallow up the ayin, and just go into the nun. When Moshe said, "But call anos," that's a regular patach. The third anos, you emphasize the ayin. It's a regular patach. Call anos, and the nun also has more emphasis. There's a dot in the nun. And that means it's really there's just more emphasis to the nun for our purposes. So it's a different one. Now, what do these words mean? So Rashi explains. Anos means to call out. To call out. Hashem said to Yoshua, the calling out is not a calling out of victory. It's not a calling out of despair. Whoa, we're losing, we have to run away. It's a calling out of the words of Rashi of our chirufin. The gidufin, insult, blasphemy, an insult, hame'anin es nefesh shayman, which causes pain, tsar, to the person who listens to their words, kishenemarim, when they're listened to. Now this pasuk over here is a sefer. I don't remember where I saw this. Is the ultimate lesson in rabbinic training. Go to rabbinic training school. They teach you first. You have to have smicha, you have to know the dalet chelke shulchan aruch. And then you have to learn also the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, right? The fifth chelik, which is things that's not in the Shulchan Aruch. But then there's the sixth chelik of Shulchan Aruch. What is the sixth chelik of Shulchan Aruch? It's this pasuk. Moshe here is training Yehoshua. When people come to you and they complain, what do Rabbanim do the whole day? I told you that last week, 2 weeks ago, a Rebbe, what does a Rebbe do the whole day? He just listens. You have to have good hearing to be a Rav. You have to have even better hearing to be a Rebbe. So you just sit and listen the whole day. All you do is listen to people's problems, their tzaras, their needs, their desires. When a person talks and calls out, there are three types, the pasuk here presents, there are three types of demands, or there are three different ways a baal habos, a chassid, will express himself to his rebbe, his rav. The first is call gevura, anos gevura, means he has succeeded. He is a kol gevura. He has prevailed. Anias giboirim hatsoyakim nitzachon. I have succeeded. I got what I want. The second crying out is the call chalusha, which Rashi says kol chaloshim Shetsoyakim vai, woe, oh nisa, let's run away. I'm a victim. I am a victim. And the third call is call anos, it's none of the above. I'm not here because I want to succeed. I'm not here because I'm complaining that someone has harmed me. I'm here just to complain, for the sake of complaining. These are, people come to Rabban and Rabban, I have a plan. I want to make a lot of money. I want to have children. I want to do a shidduch with my child. I need you to help me. I need you to make that phone call. I need you to give me advice so that I can be victorious. I got a plan. I got a plan. I have a plan for nitzachon. I'm nois gevura. And then there are people who come to the rabbis and say, I've been robbed. I'm a victim. Someone has harmed me. I need you to help me. I need you to help me find the perpetrator. I need to do a shidduch for my child. I need you to help me. I'm a victim. I'm a victim of the shidduch crisis. I need your help. I'm a victim. A kol chalusha. And then there are people that come, and I'm telling you, I know this, my father was a rabbi for many, many years. They come, and it's all wrapped up. It's all wrapped up. I need the rabbi to help me be successful, or I'm a victim. But when you dig a little bit deeper, they don't need the rabbi for the success. And they know the rabbi is not going to help them solve their problem. They're just there to make trouble. They're there, call anois and anochi shemeya, cheruf v'gidof, blasphemy. You're just here to let off steam.
Venting.
You hear the vent. You're here to let off steam. It's wrapped up in Yitzchokin, but you're here to challenge me. You're here to challenge the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're here to challenge society. You're here to challenge the Torah of Vuhulu Vuhulu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, Yeshua, you're one day going to be the manig of Klal Yisrael. And you're listening, you're telling me now that you hear Kol Milchama. Moshe says that the life is not black and white. In Kol Milchama, there's a winner and a loser. You're either victorious or you've been defeated. You're either coming because you have a plan to succeed, or you're coming because you need a solution because you have failed. Yeshua, life is not so simple. Ein kol anois gevura ve'ein kol anois chalusha. You have to sometimes understand that the call you hear is kol anois anochi shamea. It's a sound of cheruf v'giduf, a sound of blasphemy, a sound of people that are challenging the authority of the Ribbono Shel Olam, challenging the authority of Rabbanim, challenging Klal Yisrael, challenging the legacy of Klal Yisrael. And your response and the way you deal is completely different. A rabbi who's naive, a palabas comes and he has a problem, will just listen to the problem and try to find a solution. But a rabbi who's much more insightful, much more clever, sees beneath the surface what's really bothering the balabas. And that can demand an entirely different solution, entirely different response from the Rav. This is the training of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua ben Nun. In kol anois gevur, in kol anois chalusha, kol anois anochi shomea. Okay, that's what you have to say, the Chag HaSmicha. Okay, what? Okay, now let's just go, we're running out of time here. Let's run to Parashas Parah. Okay, let me just tell you, I know this is for Michal. Michal will like this time of Vard. It's just a short Ha'ara. It's not a complete Yisoy, but it's Ha'ara. This week is Parashas Parah. Parashas Parah begins Zois Chukas HaTorah. I forgot how the Parashah goes. Parah Duba is the antidote, is the kapara for the chay to Egan. Now let's. What? Dichuelecha Parah Duba. Rashi. What is Rashi? Why is it called a chok? Okay, let me turn to the page. Nasob Halos Kukas. Why is it called a chok? So Rashi says, let me do the first Rashi. And Rachel, you tell me where you've heard this Rashi before. Where does this Rashi? Where does it? It sounds familiar. Is there another Rashi like this in the whole Torah? Probably is, but let's focus on what we have in front of us. Lefisha Satan. Well, this is not a big of a parasha, you're not going to have this. So this is almost a parasha. Lefisha Satan. V'umoy so'ilam. Moinin es Yisrael. They afflict, they torture the Jewish people. Loimar, with words. Inu Dvarim. Inu Dvarim. Ma ha-mitzvah ha-zos u-ma tam yeshba. What is this? What kind of mitzvah is this? To take a parah, to slaughter it, to burn it, to sprinkle the ash, the one that's tamei becomes tar, the one that's tar becomes tamei.
So I know what you're getting.
Lefichach, it doesn't make any sense. What is it? What is this? It's not, it's illogical, it's irrational. What is going on here? What is the answer? Lefichach kosav bok chuka. That's why it says, zos chukas ha-torah. You don't have to understand this. It's not your problem. It's not for you to understand. That's how it is. That's why it says zos chukas, chuk. And by extension, the Mefarshim say, why does it say a Torah? It should say zos chukas apara. Asher tziv Hashem lemar. So the Yitzchak Chazal give, this is a model. It is a model for all of the Torah, for Tayag Mitzvos. Most of the Mitzvos we can understand, we can relate to, but you have to understand that in every Mitzvah there are elements, there are aspects that you'll never understand. There are details you'll never understand. In every Mitzvah there is a taste of the Parah Adumah, which is the quintessential Chok. And even if you think you understand the Mitzvah, don't do it because of your understanding. Do it because Hashem told you, Gezerihi Milafonai, Aser Laharer. You're not allowed to be mahar achar the mitzvah. Where else do we have such a hard line from the Ribbono Shel Olam? Don't question me. It's my world. Follow orders. Don't question the orders. The very first Rashi in the Torah, the very first Rashi is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Why does the Torah begin with the Ma'aseh Bereishis? Because the day is going to come when the Umos Olam are going to say to Klal Yisrael, listen Atem. You're a bunch of thieves. You've stolen Eretz Yisrael. It's the occupied territories. How dare you build settlements? How dare you live upon this land? Who gave you permission? You're Ganavim. Read the Torah. Read the Torah. It's Hashem's world. Don't challenge Hashem. He created the world. He decides who stays and for how long. The Canaanim had their stay. It's time for them to go. Hashem has told us to enter. It's Hashem's world. Follow orders. Haloi Davar. There's a parallel between the first Rashi in the Torah and Parshas Parah, Chukas, Mayhai. Why is there this similarity between the two? So I think the answer, I don't have a very deep answer, but I think there's a very simple answer. What was the consequence of the Chet HaEgel? The consequence is, you know what? There's no Eretz Yisrael. I'm not taking you into the land. You can just die and perish right here. Hanicholi v'achalo isam kirega. And how do we know this? The focus of the Chet HaEgel is there is no longer going to be for the Jewish people Eretz Yisrael. And the way we know that this is true is from how Hashem responds after Moshe Rabbeinu achieves a degree of teshuvah. Hashem says, okay, fine. But I'm not going with you into Eretz Yisrael. I'm not coming along for the ride. I'll send an agent. I'll send a malach. I was planning on taking you into Eretz Yisrael. You betrayed me. You worshipped the Egel. So you know what? You're finished. Moshe is mechav of Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, all right, a little, I'll accept a little bit. You can still go into Eretz Yisrael. Emphasize this. Perek Lamed Gimel. El Ha'oretz Asher Yishpati Li Avraham Li Yitzchak Li Yaakov Lemel Lizarach Etnena. But I'm not coming along. Vishalachti Lifanecha Malach. I'll send a Malach in my place to help you conquer the land. V'chulu V'kiloi Ele B'kir B'cha. I'm not coming with you into the land. Ki am kisha eref ata penachilcha badorech vayishma ha'ames hadavar hara hazeh. It was very painful to hear that Hashem is not coming with them into Eretz Yisrael. Vayisabalu, they plunged into mourning. They did not take off their crowns. Hashem says to Moshe, tell them to take off their crown. And then we go through this entire process. The whole focus, the entire focus of the consequence, the repercussions of the Chet HaEgel is explicit in the pasuk. It's all about Eretz Yisrael. It's all about, it's now going to be a whole different attitude towards Hashem giving Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. I will not be involved. It's going to be through intermediaries for you to achieve Eretz Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, they we're not going. So if you're not coming with us, we're not. That's Taku Golulah later on. And Hashem's the Klal Yisrael says Takanish Baruch Hu. If you're not coming, we're not going. That was later on, and they plunge into mourning. What's the kapara? What is the kapara? The kapara is paraduma. What is paraduma? The quintessential chok. What is the quintessential chok? Don't ask questions. Just follow orders, even though it's illogical. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them paraduma as an atonement for the Chet HaEgel? Because to come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to be aware that the Umos HaOlam are right. Listim Atem. It's a very scary thing. Listim Atem. It's not your land. You have here for generations Kenanim living in Eretz Yisrael. What right do you have a right to come and conquer the land? Mamish, Listim Atem. The only answer is if you're a Maimon. If you're a Maimon, then it's Hashem's world. It's Hashem's world. He created the world. He is the one who gave a lease to the Canaan for a certain number of years. Their lease expired, and now it's our turn. If you're not going to be a Maimon, you're not going to follow orders and be Maimon, Gezerihi Milafonai, this is Hashem's world, then you have no right to enter into Eretz Yisrael. How can you expect the Umos HaOlam to acknowledge, not to be meharher achar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to accept the fact that it's Hashem's world and Hashem only gave them a lease on the land for X number of years, if even you can't follow orders? You're telling the people that you're expelling from the land, Gezerihi Milafonai, when you yourself will only do something if I understand it makes sense to me. How can you expect them to be better than you? Therefore, if you want me to come with you into Eretz Yisrael, we have to start all over. And we're going to start all over. Zos Chukas HaTorah. I'm giving you paradum. It makes absolutely no sense. And this is a mashal l'chol HaTorah kula. Torah, not a Chukas HaParah. Gezerahi milafonai. Aser lahar acharav. Which captures tahira. Paradum is not just one mitzvah. Every time a person enters into the Beis HaMikdash, he's bringing with him the Tahira that comes from the Paraduma. Whole life is all about Kedusha Tahira. The last thing a person has in this world is they put him in the mikvah in order to be metahir, his guf, before they put him in the ground. Everything from beginning to end is Tahira. The mother conceives only after she goes to mikvah. And the last thing a person has when he leaves this world is Tzvila B'mikvah. Tahara is all based upon Paraduma. It's all rooted in Paraduma. The ultimate Tahara is in Paraduma. Is don't be Maharer. When you'll achieve Tahara through accepting Hashem, then you can expect the rest of the world to also have that sensitivity, that appreciation, and then I will once again come with you into Eretz Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Shabbos Parah. By the way, on Monday, I'm not going to be here Monday, I'm going to Baltimore. I'm going to a Simcha, a family Simcha in Baltimore. So here's on Monday, Rabbi Mayevsky will deliver the shir. Hope to see you back on Tuesday.